hi. Saying hi. 1, 2 to the two hi. Listeners we have. Say
no,
hi. 1, 2.
We've got more than that, don't we, Jimothy Chocolate Chip?
1, 2. Thank you for listening. 1, 2.
I mean, Jimmy's a good boy, but let's just see how long it takes for Jock to be a fucking idiot. Start chewing something, start barking. Oh, I could think a car door closed 4 streets over, Jock. You might as well bark at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
My hay fever is atrocious today.
You know why? Because I haven't vacuumed in a few days. I was getting into a good rhythm where I would vacuum.
And as we know, you do all the housework
in this
house.
No, you don't. No. You do all the cooking.
No, that's the way I keep it. I keep a strict household in this place.
But I do try and vacuum every 2-3 days to kind of combat the hay fever, and I haven't.
Hmm.
And with 2 dogs here. Yes, Jimmy. Jimmy's on my lap trying to get scritch scratches. Like, he's pulling my hand with his paw to his chest. Like, doesn't understand.
When we're recording, we've just got a Thelma and Louise, the dogs. We've got to put our hand in the other one's hand and then drive off the cliff. Just ignore them. Just ignore them for half an hour, and then they will get of our attention for the rest of the day.
I just want to scritch scratch. I mean, you scritch scratched me for hours yesterday, and it wasn't enough.
It's Jim.
It's never enough. That's the problem.
Never enough. No, that's terrible.
What's been going on, Stigs?
Well, yesterday I got a tattoo of my puppies.
Yeah.
Not my boobies. Got him.
Oh, puppies.
I'll put it on Instagram. I got a, Deirdre died in February, and I'm still filled with the sad loss and trauma of it. And I just wanted to get a little outline of Jimmy and Deirdre. And it's a picture of when she was a puppy. Because that's how I always remember her. We got her when she was like 8 weeks old. And she's like, they're sitting in the doorway watching Celia cook.
Mm.
And just the way the shadow kind of, goes on, blah, blah, blah. I'll post it on Instagram. So anyway, that's how I always see her. And I just got a little tattoo. And then when the chick finished, she was Polish. And she goes, oh, God, how can I do this voice? She was like,
do a Jamaican accent.
No. She was like, there you go. All your, now your babies are with you forever.
Oh, God. Wow.
Wherever you go.
Welcome to Australia's number one comedy podcast. This is.
My dog died. I'm still sad about
it. Should we just watch it real quick with Damien Dickhead Gibson? That seems to be catching on. And Kelly.
No big whoop.
No
for
big
sticker.
Whoop. Want to fight about it for sticker.
Want to fight about it?
This is the only podcast on earth where a couple who are engaged talk about movies and or TV shows that they force the other one to watch this week, although that premise has kind of flown out the window a little bit.
The only podcast in all tens and thousands
we're
of podcasts.
The only podcast where a couple talk to each other.
A couple?
Mm-hmm.
They talk about movies and TV and stuff.
Yeah.
The only one. There is. Look for it. You can't find it.
I think we might be the only podcast about movies and TV on the internet.
The only one. Look for it, okay? Prove me wrong, Lisa. Prove me wrong. We are the only one. So I don't know where you're going to go to hear about, TV and movies.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere
out there. It's not
going
to be on the fucking internet,
no,
dickhead.
No, fucking. Google.
Well, what, are you going to go to your precious internet
precious
to find it?
Google? Okay, Google. Blah, 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 blah. No, don't go off. Okay, all the Google stuff.
Well, I'll just Google it. Shut up, nerd. I'm telling you, we're the only podcast.
Jock, get away from the recorder.
Jock's on the podcast now.
Nah, he's get away. No,
Engineer Jock.
No, he's got his stupid big fucking Scottish dog nose sniffing and snivelling away, all wet and drenched.
Can't we just call him Engineer Jock?
No, he's going to ruin everything. Like,
it's
just
not
him.
Gonna ruin everything.
He's stupid. Look at him. He's got his nose on the buttons. It's not good. He's like, his nose has just touched the levels. Jock, piss off. I love him, but piss off.
You don't love him. You play favorites with dogs.
Yeah,
it's crazy. When Deirdre was with us.
Deirdre. Yeah, that's right. Deirdre Chambers.
When Deirdre and Jim were both around,
yeah,
you hated Jim.
No.
Yes, you hated
no,
Jim.
No, Jim had an
and
attitude.
And the reason why he loves me so much now is because he would have to run to me because his mum didn't pay any attention to him.
No, incorrect.
And now that Deidre has unfortunately left us, Jim is your favourite. And any other dog that walks through the door,
no,
you hate.
You're wrong.
Except for Eddie, the street dog that we looked after for a few weeks that was here on yeah. one of the episodes. Go back in the archives and listen to it.
When we were young and fitter and more handsome, wearing our Buddy Holly glasses, like yeah. at the Ed Sullivan show.
When I used to have a beard, remember
yeah.
that?
Oh, oh, so God, long ago. Gross. Whoa. No, listen, wrong.
I'm listening.
All right, listen.
No, I promise, I'm listening.
Yeah, good, right? Because Jimmy, when Deidre was around, Jimmy would have behaviour that was, he would bully her. She was a special needs dog. You know, she would have seizures. She couldn't fucking see half the time. And when she was at her weakest, he would sometimes try and because the thing is, when you get a pack of dogs, the female normally is the leader, right? Okay, Jock wants to come up. Okay, come on, Jock. Come on. Come on. The female's normally the leader. So even though she was a puppy when we got her, she became bigger than Jimmy and she was able to, you know, push him around a bit physically. Mm. And then whenever she was like having a seizure or something, he would try and maybe go her because just to kind of go, yeah, I'm the boss again. And I didn't like his attitude towards her when she was not well and stuff. That was why, you know, that was why I was – and I was pretty like when Eddie was here, I was pretty like soft towards him too because Jimmy sometimes has behaviour with other dogs where – he's really – he can be really fun and playful with other dogs and he's really good. But if the other dog, like, say, Jock, is relentless and wants to play, Jimmy gets fed up of it and he wants to be left alone. But if the other dog doesn't want to play at all, Jimmy won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
And he's you know, can be really annoying. I mean, he's my favourite right now because Jock can be really annoying. But for some reason, Jock's just jumped on the couch with me now. He never jumps on the couch with me. But I think there's a battle going on because Jock wants to be big dog. He wants to be top dog.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, this is the only reason why Jock's on the couch with me.
Yeah. Well, guess what, dickheads? I'm top dog. I'm her favourite. So sucked in, yeah. dickheads.
Yeah. Hey. Damien's my favourite behind Jimmy.
Hey, do you want to tell the kids about finishing your new job? Is it?
Maybe I'll wait until my annual leave gets paid out.
They're not going to listen to this shit.
I don't
know. And even if they do, who cares?
Oh, maybe another. Maybe I'll wait a few weeks and I'll tell you. I can't say where I did work, but I did work for a government organisation and I'm going to another government organisation.
She worked for ASIO. Yeah.
So I'm starting a new job in a few weeks with a very good pal of mine, Rose Bishop, who's a comedian, who's really great, really funny. So that'll be nice that I'll be working with them. But
that office is going to be a laugh a minute.
I know. It's going to be so funny. It's like, can you
so
imagine?
Funny. You guys are just going to be cracking jokes
oh
all the time.
Oh, my God. Like, I can't even. It's going to be like people are going to be like, is this a comedy club?
Yeah.
Like, you guys keep on making jokes about your period out loud. It's funny. but, yeah, I finished up with another job. I'll wait. I will talk about it. It's funny. There's a few things that happened on my last.
You don't have to mention your workplace just to talk about what happened. Just talk about the morning tea. Come on. Tell them the story. The afterthought morning tea.
So I... So I gave notice. I've been at that job for 5.5 years. I gave notice and there was another morning tea for someone else that was leaving.
Mm.
So
already gives you an idea of the kind of place we're talking about.
Okay, so someone was leaving.
There's a queue for leaving morning teas.
So someone was leaving and they were leaving on like the Friday. So we were having a morning tea for them on the Wednesday. I wasn't leaving until the week after. So basically, like, you know, it was like, hey, we're having some more tea for this person. So I like went home the night before and I made cupcakes for them and, you know, and then in the morning I like helped set up. I put a big sign up saying good luck, blah, blah, blah.
At this stage, just thinking you're a guest at this morning tea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I set up everything and then, you know, people started trickling in. And as people started trickling in, one of the other workers started putting up adding another sign to the already good luck sign that I had put up for this person leaving, mm-hmm. and it was just another piece of paper on the wall that said, "And Kelly." And
so you've gone away, come back,
yeah,
and the good luck sign that you've put up on the wall.
Yeah, good luck, say, let's call him Jane. Good luck, Jane. I put up a big sign and, you know, blah, 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 and then someone else
and
has
then
printed.
And you've come back and yeah. in blood underneath it says, and Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in feces, someone grabbed a crap
out of
their pants.
It definitely felt like an afterthought. Like, I don't know why they couldn't
have. Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know why they couldn't have done a morning tea the week I was leaving, but they just decided to put them together.
After five and a half years of service as well. Yeah. It wasn't like you were in the.
Yeah, and I'd done some stuff. Like, I was, you know, I'd been on secondment as a team leader. I'd done, you know, training. And, you know, I mean, if that's what they want to do for me, then that's what they want to do. And no what, big whoop,
what
right?
What was the gift that you got at that same morning tea?
I did get two nice gifts.
No, we don't want to hear about the nice gifts.
Okay, so one person painted this really beautiful picture of me and the dogs.
I just said, I don't want to hear about the nice gifts.
No, I think it's important. And then it was beautiful. And then took a photo of me and some of the people that I work with and put it in a frame. And that was really lovely. So those two items were great. I was like, fantastic. And then the other item was a...
Oh, really? Because when you got home, you said you hated them.
No, I didn't. Shut up. And then the other item... Because, like, so this is why I know that I was an afterthought, because if they had waited till the Wednesday after, they had waited till the next week when I was actually leaving, they could have had time to, like, I don't know, like, collect money, get me something nice. But that's okay. Look, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. Most people leave jobs and I get nothing. So whatever, right? I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth. I just think it's funny to talk about it. Anyway, so... But I definitely feel like it's not the gift. Like I'm happy to leave with nothing. It's just the afterthought. It's just the whole, I'll just shove Kelly in with that one. Just shove her in. Who cares? Mm. Who cares? It's just a going away. Who cares, right? That, and I know that some of the people I was working with commented to me going, hey, do you know why you were someone actually said, why were you added to that other person's going away? Why you're not an afterthought. Like, you deserved your own. And I'm like, yeah. And I kind of felt really bad that I was kiboshing this other person's going away because that was theirs. You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden I've like shoved myself in and I didn't like that. So I didn't like ruining her going away. And multiple people made comments like, why couldn't we have done it the week you were leaving? Why were you shoved in? Why were you shoved in? And I was like, honest. I was like, I don't know. Like, maybe ask the management. I don't know.
Because in a capitalistic society, you're just a battery and no one cares about you.
Maybe they didn't want to waste time with two morning teas over 2 weeks.
Did you turn my microphone off?
Huh?
I'm joking.
All right. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they, you know, they were like, look, it's if we have to have a morning tea for everyone, it's going to chew up a lot of time. Of work, and I'm like, fair enough, whatever. Again,
Johnson, get in here now. I've been looking at the numbers, and our productivity has dipped by 17.4%.
It's all these goodbye parties, man. It's fucked.
And morning teas are up by 12%. I know.
Well, that's good numbers. Something's up. That's good. And then, so I felt bad about that. Up. I know. And then the person who added the sign was like, I was asked to print that out 2 minutes before the meeting, the morning tea.
I'm imagining.
And they were not okay with it. They were like, I don't think that's right. Like, they kind of questioned it. And then, they were very like, they didn't say that fucked to me, but I got the feeling that they were like, well, that's not right.
I'm imagining the Anne Kelly in kidnapping lettering, like cut out of a newspaper.
Because I couldn't even be fucked printing. I don't know. Like, I mean, look, it's nice to have a thought and blah, blah, blah. I just don't know why. It sounds like the day before this morning tea, they sent out an email going, oh, we're going to do it for Kelly as well.
No, the morning.
It was the morning compared to the, like, from the person who printed. Anyway.
Present.
So I was given because I like Frida Kahlo stuff and Mexican stuff. So they got me a planner that was like a Frida Kahlo planner, which is really nice because I do like that stuff. But unfortunately, the planner is a 2023 planner and it's August, which, I mean, I get it. Like,
well, you're going to have a highly organized last 4 months of the year.
Yeah. Like, I appreciate that it was for something that I liked, but it's August. Like, it's 8 months into the year and you got me a planner.
Well, you can plan your Christmas shopping.
It's just, and then, yeah, and I got some bath bombs and we don't have a bath.
Thanks for all your hard work, Callie. Here's a 1989 The Batman the Motion Picture Planner.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Look, whatever. I mean, I'm sure at some stage I will use those bath bombs, and the planner was a nice thought, but I can't really – I mean, I can use it for 4 months.
Here's your 1974 Kramer versus Kramer planner.
I just don't know why they shoved me into someone else's – going away
because they're lazy and who cares, like, you know.
Yeah, I don't, like, yeah, I just was like, it was disappointing because I was like, oh, I thought I meant more to people, and maybe I, and that's the thing, maybe I do, but in the scheme of, like, in a workplace, people don't know how to show their, like,
no, I think it's just a reminder that no matter how much you think your work cares about you,
they don't. Yeah,
anyway, let's get into the movies.
You really wanted me to talk about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I just think it's a funny
story. Really funny. I when I was like, because I was showing pictures to my mates,
and it's also like an anti-capitalistic story, you know what I mean? So I'm like,
I'm not getting a vax, fucking.
We're essentially the Rage Against the Machine of podcasts.
It was funny when I was showing pictures to mates, like, people were dying. People were laughing so much. It's like, here's I got some beautiful, like, beautiful bath bombs. Like, they look like they cost, you know, a little bit of money, and they were lovely, but I don't have a bath.
Mm.
So
we do have a bath.
We have a weird spa bath that can't fill. So I can't really use them.
What are you talking about?
Oh, here we go. There we go. Dogs are barking. Because there's no water pressure in the bathroom. So if I wanted to have a bath, I can't.
You're like, making our house sound like it's the hotel from The Shining. You can absolutely.
How long will it take for me to fill that spa bath?
Anywhere between one to 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. So I can't really. There's no proper bath here. Like, I need a bath. Like, when I lived in Kew, that was a bath.
Here we go.
Now, that was a bath.
When I lived with Celia, I was happy. When I lived with Celia, someone listened to me.
Yeah.
When I lived with Celia, I felt like I had a friend in the house.
Yeah, I got a friend, Jimmy.
Whatever. Let's talk about movies. We have two items on the menu. One is The Flash. The other is a little film. You may have heard about it.
Just a real indie film.
Called Baba.
Bubby.
Sorry. misread my notes here. what should we talk about?
Whichever
first
one you want.
Let's get The Flash out of the way and then we can talk about Barbs.
Okay.
I think The Flash is good. The end.
Great. Join us next week. So
The Flash has had a lot of issues with it, right? Like, it was in pre-production hell for like 3 or 4 years. It's part of the DC extended universe that has been sort of spluttering along for the last 8, 9, 10 years.
So this is the 2023 release Flash, which was made, originally was released, set for release in 2018.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They held on to it for 5 fucking years.
Yeah, so the pandemic got in the way. Ezra Miller, I think if you haven't heard, you know.
The guy who plays The Flash.
Yeah, Google it, nerds. He's had a lot of problems. We're not going to go into it here. All spoilers, no facts. That's this podcast. It seems like the story changed around a bit because other things were happening in other films in the DC universe, so it got changed around. Just a huge amount of problems. This film, to me, was actually, the story was really enjoyable, and there's some really good scenes. And if you're a fan of The Flash, like the comic book or the character at all, like I am, I think for the most part, they do a pretty good job of telling a pretty good Flash story here. Like,
I didn't know much about The Flash at all, so I came in very ignorant of what it was about, but I know that you love The Flash, and for someone who doesn't know the story and the origin stuff of The Flash, I felt it was very easy to follow, and I felt like the story was interesting. There is some really fun time travel stuff within it, which I kind of really like. Like sci-fi wise, I'm a big nerd for that stuff, and I thought it was really good.
They reference Back to the Future
a lot in the
film a lot, and I think that's the vibe they're going for. I think they, like, on the whiteboard it would have said superhero Back to the Future. I think that's the type of film that they were trying to make.
I forget to – I always love when you do like when you change something slightly from the past, how much it can affect the future. Like when I there's there's a James Franco movie based on the JFK assassination, written by Stephen King, and I think it's actually called like 23/11/63,
right?
And it's a really good, like, the fucking premise is fantastic. There's a diner, like real time. There's a diner that he goes to, and if you walk into like the pantry or the cool room of this diner, you get transported back to 1960. So it's 3 years before JFK was shot. Like, you just get – and there's no
– And who's JFK?
We don't know. JFK. It's like Kennedy. But we don't, and, but the, it's such a good, like – this is what I love about Stephen King stuff, is that there's no explanation. We don't need to know that it's a fucking – you know, it's a paradox and it's a slider situation. Just this
don't
is
explain it.
It
too much. Like, yeah, the time travel
doesn't matter.
The thing does time travel, it's fine.
Why is it 3 years? Who knows? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's just, this is the facts of the story, is that you walk in, it's 1960, and he the James Franco character tries to stop Kennedy being shot. That's his whole thing.
Right.
And spoiler alert, he does manage to get, like, basically they still try and kill him, but he survives.
Right.
And then when he goes back to the real world, there's been a nuclear holocaust.
Right.
Because something happened where they couldn't sort out that kind of thing with the Russians, and it's just fucked the entire world. So JFK needs to die.
Right.
But just that one little, like, it's not a little thing, it's a president didn't die. But you'd think that JFK not dying would be a good thing, because he would have not made Vietnam happen. You know, he was really into sort of, you know, ending segregation and
He was black a very rights. Progressive president.
Progressive, yeah. But him dying anyway. So that's really interesting. So in this film, it's a similar thing where he has to go back in time. Like, he goes back in time to because his mother gets murdered and his father is framed for it.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because the father, they're making tomato sauce and she forgot the tomatoes. So the husband goes to the store to get the tomatoes. And while he's gone, the mother that gets murdered. Mm-hmm. And because there's no proof that he went and got the tomatoes ever, which is crazy, but like, they can't see his face on camera, all this stuff. He can't, he's in jail. But so he goes back in time to get the tomatoes. That's all he did. He just put tomatoes in the mum's trolley.
He initially goes back in time to try and save his, like,
yeah,
his mum, and then works out that, like, he can just do something, because he has a conversation with
Bruce Wayne
Batman before, like, going, I could go back and change everything for the good. Yeah. And Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck, says,
don't.
You can't. Like, yeah. And as much, like, and he's like, as much as I know you want to, you've got to wear, like, you know, you. Our scars
he
is
warned
what,
him. He's
he
like,
says, like, our scars is what makes us Barry, you know, like, you can't go back.
But there's
and
a butterfly effect.
Yeah, essentially, he says there's a butterfly effect, blah, blah, blah. Barry goes back and does it anyway because he loves his mum. And he realizes that, like, his thought process is, if I just change a small thing, like making sure that mum has tomatoes at home, then dad won't go to the supermarket to buy the tomatoes, which means that when the killer comes, my dad will be there.
Yeah.
Or the killer will not kill my mum because and that's what happens. But then when he goes back and does that, he goes to see his mum, and then bumps into his self at the age of 18, and then they kind of realize, like, oh shit, like, like Barry realizes that he's completely fucked the universe by going back in time. And then the rest of the movie is all about basically trying to...
Because then he might not be the Flash and all that stuff. And
so it's all about trying to get back to the equilibrium of the beginning of the story. Now, there have been huge amounts of criticism towards this film. I think just like go through them one by one.
Mm.
One is Ezra Miller being the star.
Yeah. It fucked the release.
Yeah. I mean, the film already exists. He's a fairly problematic dude now. So, like, I could understand why that would put you off the film. But if you put that to one side, his performance is actually really good.
He's really good.
He's actually really good in it.
Yeah.
The CGI, people are just ragging on how cheap the CGI looks in
this
film.
But not everywhere. And this is what I said. Like, there's a lot of CGI that's perfect. But then there's just little bits, and it's almost like I said to you when we were watching it, I was like, it's almost like they were making this proper film, and then when they were in post-production, like they had done the majority of the CGI, and then when they were in post-production, they got wind that it's not going to be released, so they just shelved it.
The story is that like because it changed around so much, by the time they'd gone back to do a final run of CGI, there wasn't actually enough CGI artists on Earth to deal with the amount of demand there is, because all films are so CGI heavy, there aren't enough CGI studios on Earth to keep up with the demand.
I don't know.
Stuff that I'm just telling you what the story is out in the world, right? Warner Brothers said, and this is and also CGI houses have said the same thing as well, is that they have like a year and a half backlog of stuff.
They couldn't shelve it for another 6 months to get the CGI perfect.
I don't think
they gave a shit.
Yeah, but other people, so David Zaslav or whatever is the new head of Warner Brothers, and then another guy had come in to look after HBO Max and all that sort of thing. So all the DC TV shows have essentially been axed. They brought in James Gunn to reboot the DC movies. So I think this Flash movie was just a fucking pain in everybody's ass. And so they had just gotten to the point where they were like, just release it the way that it is. It's fine. Whatever. And then we'll move on, you know? The other criticism is that the ending of the film isn't really an ending. Like, people wanted an ending to that DC universe. I couldn't give a shit because most of the films were terrible.
Mm.
I thought the ending was really cool. I loved how they dealt with Barry's story. That Barry's story about his mum and his dad being in jail. That's almost in every iteration of The Flash, like in the comics, in the TV show. And so it's a really good story. They did that really well. What I did like about this film, outside of that story, like the main arc, is sort of how fun the film is. Like, you get Michael...
It's really fun.
So when he goes back in time, he's in a different... So essentially, like, when a time disruption happens, it makes different universes happen. And the Batman in that universe is Michael Keaton, 1989.
Which is the Batman, best.
But he's old and haggard and is, like, retired. And, like, Barry manages to drag him out of retirement to go on this mission to try and find who they think is Superman, but it turns out to be Supergirl. But I also like the fact that there's like a crossover of superheroes, but it's only like three.
Yeah.
It's just the Flash, Batman, and Supergirl. And they're the three people.
Don't need all of them for this.
Yeah, you don't need 112 superhero crossover thing to like it felt, even though there's like a lot of, in the final sort of battle scene, there's a lot of CGI and a lot of people happening. Mm. It's still quite a small story, though it's like time travel and all that sort of stuff. It really is just about Barry and his two friends and his other version of himself trying to rectify the universe back to where it was.
And I think that's good, right? Because I reckon they didn't invite all the other people in because they were like, oh, when we do the second, third, fourth Flash, then we can kind of do that. And then there isn't going to be one because this actor sounds like a fucking loose unit.
Yeah.
And they don't want to use him again. And they'll have to find another Flash to be. But he was quite silly and fun in it. Like, he's a good actor, but obviously he's a, like, I couldn't even get to the bottom of why he's such a fuckhead, because like when I was looking at his Wikipedia,
he sent just messages to
like there's a bunch of
sent
stuff.
Sexual,
allegedly
he has sent sexual material to underage people,
and he was like in trouble for like I think there was like assault charges and like girlfriend strangling his girlfriend.
He did the old Chris Delia, whatever his name
was. Oh, yeah. Delia?
Delia. Chris Delia, yeah.
But then also, like, yeah, assault stuff.
You can take screenshots.
Yeah, like he was, yeah, just a real fuckhead. So you don't, obviously you don't want to support him and that ruins the film, which is a shame because it's a good film. And the Michael Keaton part about it is so fucking good and fun and it's great. And then the whole, like, towards the end when we find out that he's, so he's 18-year-old self from that universe or that time place is obsessed with saving his mother, but he can't do it. Like it's like it's like you can't. Whatever you do, if you save your mother, you'll never, like, the world is gonna end.
Yeah. The whole film comes to a point of Barry having to reconcile, and this is always the same thing in every Flash origin story, is that he has to reconcile with the fact that he can't save his mum. Because if he does, a whole bunch of other bad shit's going to happen. So then, the scene that makes the film for me is that he goes back and essentially takes the tomatoes out of his mum's trolley. It sounds stupid, but trust me, it's great. He takes the tomatoes out of his mum's trolley and then has this sort of weird, it's this, like, faux conversation where his mum just thinks that she's talking to this sort of troubled youth sort of thing, but he's actually saying goodbye to his mum. He gets to say goodbye to his mum. It's a really affecting scene, especially for a superhero film. You just don't see, you know, I've watched all 29 of the MCU films or whatever. I've watched all the DC films on a couple of occasions. You don't get this amount of humanity in those films. You know,
it's kind of more genuine.
Yeah, besides the last Avengers film where, like, you know, they kill off Black Widow and Tony sacrifices, like, Iron Man sacrifices himself. That's it. That's kind of all you get in, like, 29 films. They tried to do a little bit of it in the last Guardians of the Galaxy film and kind of succeeded, but I would say that this Flash film succeeds from the get-go. It feels very human, and I really like
that. Yeah, he's saying goodbye to his mum and basically letting her go to be murdered because that's the only way, because they try it a million times to try and fix
even
it.
Even Affleck as Batman in this, it's like he's good. He shows up a couple of times.
Yeah.
He seems more fun, seems like he's having fun. Yeah. The conversation he has as Bruce Wayne with Barry Allen, he's really paternal and how Batman is. Like, Batman always gets, like, portrayed now as, like, oh, he's a psychopath. He could just, like, donate all of his money and actually fix. Fuck off, man. Like, he's a good person who has good morals and, like, yeah, he's a bit gruff, but, like, at the end of the day, he's a good dude. And, like, that comes across in this film as well. I like happy, justice-filled DC comics, and this film has that energy. It's a shame that, like, we're not going to see any more of this, although James Gunn taking over DC should help things. But anyway, I thought it was good. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to give it 3 grumps.
Only 3?
Yeah. Because it's not the best film of all time. And there's
I would think out of 5, I would have thought you were giving it 4 grumps the way you talk about it.
Yeah, because I really, really enjoyed it. But there are things that are, like, the CGI is bad. I mean, there are times where, you know, essentially Barrett, like, what's the actor's name again? That plays the Ezra Miller.
Ezra Miller,
right. Is essentially acting across from himself, but he's not, you can see that they're not looking at each other. Like, just simple continuity things like that where it's like, it does take you out of it. All the Kara, all the Supergirl stuff looks very, very cheap. Like, it will take people out of the film. Like, that's lazy film. For the amount of money that gets spent on these films, that's lazy filmmaking to not have that stuff fixed.
Yeah, I felt like it was lazy. That's, like, I know you're saying it was a, they had a minimal amount of CGI people to fix it. I'm like, yeah, I get that, but also it just felt like they were like, oh, no one's going to see this film. It's almost like they were like, oh, no one's going to see this film. We'll just get it finished and put it on a shelf and we'll just forget about it. And then when they decided to release it, no one actually went through it again.
Yeah, that's
and double
exactly
checked.
What it feels like. So that's why I'm not going to give it 4 or 5 stars. All right. Because it's like, as much as I enjoyed the story and thought, like, you know, I've been waiting. I've been waiting since I was six. I bought my first Flash comic to see a Flash movie, you know, like when. So I think probably a star of the three stars is just the fact that there's a Flash movie for me, you know. But anyway, I gave it three grumps. What did you give it, Bub?
I'll give it three grumps too. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was really funny and I have to lose a whole star because the lead in it is a psychopath. Like it was hard for me to not it's like if I'm watching like a Bill Cosby like special, like I can't disassociate a psychopath with, you know, what they're in. So yeah, I give it three as well. But in terms of entertaining, it was good, and it's a shame because I feel like the next movie or something could have been, you know, is quite interesting. Like the whole thing about the fact that he needs to eat heaps after he does flashings.
Yeah, because he's like,
because he's a psychopath, and then like
negative carbohydrates all the time because he's just using them up constantly.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of funny bits about it. You know what I mean? But it's good. Three grumps.
All right, let's move on to the big movie, Barbie.
Yeah. Ryan Gosling, best actor today.
Yeah, you keep saying this.
I love
him. Surely he would be best supporting actor.
Oh, yeah, right? Maybe. I don't know.
I think if he was nominated for best supporting actor, that's fine. Best actor.
Because best supporting actors, this is the thing, for a comedy, you will win a best supporting actor.
No, nothing from Barbie's going to get
nominated. But as a comedy, best actor, best actress for a comedy is like impossible. Yeah. But that's why they go supporting. But he should win it. He's so funny in it. Every joke hits with him and he is having fun and just the silliness. He's such an idiot. Like
Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer will win that award. You can already tell by the way the like variety and stuff right about it. It's like,
and he's owed one, you know. He's been around for so long.
Yeah, it's his, like, Lifetime Achievement Academy Award, you know.
Yeah, but I just because he's so handsome and because it's, like, a silly character, like, people will go, oh, whatever. And I'm like, no, man. The fact that comedy's hard, man. And the fact that he hit every note and there was a bunch of stuff you could tell, like, the script is the script and the direction is the direction. But I bet there was a bunch of little things that he did, little looks, little winks, little like, you know, like flex of the muscles, which was him adding it to it. And the director's gone, yeah, leave that in. That's funny. Like he has such good timing and sense. And I feel like, I don't know, like if anyone, like, I don't know, like if you run through a bunch of people like James Franco, Brad Pitt, all these like hot guys or whatever, like I don't know anyone else who would have had the
Jared Leto, he seems like a funny guy.
Yeah, right. I just don't know another actor that would have been able to do this as well as he did.
Yeah.
It was just spot on. And she's great in it. I mean, Margot Robbie, like, God, I can't handle how gorgeous she is. And in every interview, she's like so sweet. She's just, her and Chris Hemsworth, absolute Adonises, and in every interview, they're like beautiful people.
It's because they're bloody Australian, mate.
Man, more Aussie gold.
It's because they're bloody Australian. Gold, you know, gold for Australia.
Another Karen Perkins in the fucking movie industry, right?
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Another fucking sexy bastard. Super nice.
But like, it's infuriating. Surely she's got to be bad at something. Like, you've never seen I, Tonya. She's fantastic in that. She is like, she can cry on demand, but just like her voice work, you know, is so good. And oh man, she's great. But criticism, too much crying. There was too many moments where it was like, you know, Barbie had realization moments and she would cry. And I really feel like they milked the fact that Margot Robbie's a good crier.
Yeah.
And they chucked it in. And I'm like, we don't need this. Stop with the fucking tears and crying. Yes, you're sad at this moment and yes, it's an upsetting scene or blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Like, I just felt like it was fucking annoying. Like, you're still getting the point across.
So too much acting in this film for you?
Just the crying bits were weird. But the premise, I know, like, I can imagine a lot of people walking away from this going, it's such an anti-man film and it's a feminist movie. And I'm like,
I was furious when I walked out of this film.
What people don't understand is that this film is against the I know I sound like a cliche,
men,
but
it's against men.
No,
yeah.
It's not. No, it shut is. Up. You missed the point. yeah, let people know you're joking, okay?
I am joking. Great. I am actually. Great. I'm 100% joking. Great. They'll know that I'm joking when I give my fucking review.
Okay, good. A lot of people were like, oh, you know, it's anti-men. But I know I sound really cliche when I say this, but the film is against the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. And the patriarchy are the people that make things inaccessible to the rest. And I feel like women have been, you know, a victim of it for a long time. And the film outlined that men are also a victim of it.
Mm.
It's not, this film isn't anti-men, it's anti-patriarchy. It's anti the gatekeepers who keep all the normal people down and can't be themselves. They really highlight that there's a whole thing with Ken when he goes into the real world, and 5 minutes in the real world, He turns into Joe Rogan. 5 minutes in the real world, he is just shoved. His face is just shoved with all the things that is typical of this is what it means to be a man, and which is incorrect because it's all like, you know, golf, football, sports, horses,
guns,
cowboy, guns,
cars. Yeah.
And I know plenty of men who are fucking manly as all fuck, you know, but they're not into cars. They're not into guns. And you can still be, and that's where I think it highlighted that, you know, that there are men who don't fall within the line of that patriarchy of what it means to be a man, and they have suffered too. And I don't, it's a delicate, sometimes I can't articulate myself well enough, and there's someone who's, you know, like if you're, you know, people can probably smash my point of view on this because I can't articulate myself very well, but I feel like this film does a lot for women and all sorts of stuff, but for men too. It's important for men to watch it and know this is the pigeonhole that society wants to shove you in. So you should be just as mad at the fucking the top as we are, because why should you have to conform to their standards of what it means to be a man?
Yeah, the message of the film is inclusiveness.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's not.
If you see anything else but that, you're crazy.
Yeah, I think like the film talks.
You're just looking for something to have a problem with.
Yeah, the film comments on stereotypes for both genders. It's like it's a pretty amazing achievement in filmmaking, because it seems like almost the only way to get a film off the ground at the moment is to make an ad for an organization. I saw a fucking trailer for a film for BlackBerry. BlackBerry, the story. Remember BlackBerries, the little fucking handheld phones?
What? How could that be a story?
Well, it is.
Oh, God, we're fucked.
I literally saw the trailer for it this morning on Instagram. I was like, oh, and the comments were hilarious. There's one guy who was like, I bought my first BlackBerry in a secondhand bin at a Telstra store in 2001 and it immediately stopped working.
Oh, I love it.
But, yeah, look, a lot has been spoken about this film. Of course, you know, as soon as a film is made by a woman about...
Well, it was written by a man and a woman.
Okay, all right, yeah, but the director is a woman and it's obviously... It's obvious... Okay. It's seen as a female film.
Feminist,
like, yeah. Yeah, right? And it's got a feminist point of view and all that sort of thing. So, of course, there are going to be dickheads who try and capture the conversation about the film and turn it into a bullshit culture wars and all that sort of thing. But for me, watching the film, it's like, it's just funny. It's just a funny film.
It's funny.
And if you watch this film and can't, as a dude, can't laugh at...
yourself,
the male characters in it, and the step, because for me personally, I don't, there isn't really anything about all those sort of male stereotypes. I don't identify with any of them, so it didn't, like, maybe that didn't make me feel threatened or
like
anything
men who
like
love
that.
Horses.
But at the end of the day, like, if you can't watch a film and have some jokes prodded at your sex and not be able to laugh at that,
I mean, the whole Barbie character is prodding at us, as at women as well. You know, like there is a whole thing about, you know, I'm going to have a girls' night. And like have a sense of humor. It's wild that when you look at the far right, when the left started going, yeah, we don't like these jokes about women, and we don't like when they started complaining, the right was like, they don't have a sense of humor. Go to any kind of like Herald Sun comment section, they're like, oh, get a sense of humor. No, you can't make jokes anymore. Joke, comedy's mate. Dead. Comedy's dead. So then a comedy gets made, poking fun at men. And they're like, whoa, this is fucked. This is fucked. Anti-men. Anti-men. Mate, you guys were the ones saying that we needed to get a sense of humor. So we fucking did, cunt. We fucking did. And then a film like this gets made, and now you're having – listen, Snowflake, you're having a fucking sook. Shut the fuck up.
I think the film –
enjoy the film.
I think the film is anti-Mattel and anti-corporation more than
– anti-corporation, 100%.
More than anything.
100%.
I mean, the bad guys in the film are the board of Mattel.
Yeah, which is all men.
Which are all – yeah, which happen to be all men, because that's just the way the fucking world – works, right? Yeah. Like,
what do women want in a Barbie? You know, like there's just...
Which is just a funny joke. The film is, yes, it makes some fairly basic sort of like, not basic, not to take away from it, but it makes some comments about feminism and the patriarchy and all this kind of stuff, which is all great and it's all true. But really, at the heart of it, the film is a really well acted, very funny...
Yeah.
Visually striking, well directed piece of cinema.
Yeah, it's really good.
Is and my major point for the film, and the thing that keeps making me think about it, is that it is essentially an ad for Mattel, right? Like Mattel are all behind. Like you can in all the credits after the film, Mattel.
Mm.
Like the tie-ins with the film are everywhere. Like I went and saw it with my sister. And as we were walking into the cinema in like just our local shopping center, every second store had Barbie something.
Yeah, women are dressing in pink watching it. Like it's a big.
So it's like, yes, the cynic in me is like, well, yes, it's making all these good points, and it's an amazing sort of achievement in, you know, feminist commentary in a film and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it's still making a buttload of fucking money for Mattel, even though they're in the film. But for essentially for Greta Gerwig to get away with the amount of shit that she gets away with in this film and for it to essentially have been funded in some part by Mattel, that in itself is an achievement.
Yeah.
But really, it's just a ignore that. My advice, if you're a dude listening to this and you're like, oh, I don't know if I want to watch something like, just ignore all the fucking bullshit conversation about the film and just watch it. It's just funny.
Ignore the bullshit.
It's just a funny, fun film that makes some really good points that need to be heard.
Yeah.
But you won't even, that'll just sort of wash over you. Like it's not, you're not going to, like, not that I should be really speaking to these kind of guys anyway, but if you're worried that like you're going to feel affronted as a man watching this film.
Oh, shut up.
You're not, dude.
Shut up. Listen. Just
unless you work on the board of Mattel, you're not going to be offended.
Listen, just watch the fucking movie. I've been watching superhero movies for fucking 10 years, okay? I've had to watch every fucking Spider-Man, Batman, fucking Dickman, whatever, okay? One fucking movie comes out called Barbie.
I made you watch that film Dickman once.
And it wasn't a film. And it was your dick.
We had a good night after.
Yay! Woohoo! No. But like... You know what I mean? Like, I've been watching superhero movies for 10 years. One film comes out called Barbie.
Yeah.
One fucking film.
Hmm.
And everyone fucking loses their fucking dick.
Yeah, which is which is the exact point that the film is making, right?
Like, it's constant. Movies are constantly about, like, you know, like if you want to look at the stereotype of thing, you know, superhero comic books has always been, and yes, women are into it now especially, but when you look at the stereotype of way back when, it has always been a male-dominated kind of genre.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dealing with it for so fucking long. Shut the fuck up and just go, like, and if you haven't seen it, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up. That's what makes me mad as well. When people talk about it but you haven't seen it. How do you have all these comments and yeah. you're, oh, but I, you know, I listened to Joe Rogan and he talked about it and I listened to blah, blah, blah. Well, why don't you watch the film as a fucking person and make up your own mind? You're dead shit.
Yeah. Also, seriously, it's not that serious a movie. Like, it's not
that serious a movie. It's fun.
There shouldn't be this much discourse about essentially what is a fun family film that is made for females under 25. Like, if yeah. it's part of it, like, if you're looking at the four quadrants yeah. in advertising or whatever, this film is for females over 25 and under 25 for it to have a fun time
yeah.
and see themselves in a film.
And
like, if you can't, like, it's just a good time.
It's a good time. And the thing is, if you're like, I know that I'm kind of like, you know, I'm getting like yelling at people, but the film, you know what? If you don't want to watch the film, it doesn't need you. It made $1 billion. $1 billion. I don't know. I don't think this is the first female directed movie that's made $1 billion at the box office. So you know what? If you don't like Barbie, they don't need you, mate. They're doing fine without you. Mate, I'm going to give 4 grumps. I'm giving 4 grumps.
Yeah. Point Break didn't make $1 billion.
Is that directed by a woman? A billion? No.
Yeah.
No.
Should Point
have. Break. Yeah, no.
Utah.
No.
Make it 2.
No. No. How many grumps?
Now I'm just thinking about Point Break. I give Point Break 5 grumps.
No.
And I give this film, that's the first Point Break, not the second Point Break. Second Point Break, I give 0.5 grump.
I didn't know there was a second one.
Fucking sucks so hard.
Oh, good.
The whole time you're just like, God, I love Patrick Swayze yeah. so much. I think I'm going to give Barbie 4 grumps.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I laughed a lot.
Yeah.
And I was watching it with my sister and...
It lost a fucking star because of the crying.
Oh, I just don't
three
think...
Different moments of crying. It was annoying me.
I think it's like in the upper echelons of movies ever made, you know? Like, nah, I think people have a tendency to sort of like be very hyperbolic about things in the moment. You know, this is the greatest film ever made. This is the most important film ever made. I don't think it's either of those things. Mm. But I think it's a really good film that makes some really good comments in a really funny way about conversations that we should probably be having.
It's
more
really
of
good
in
conversations.
At the moment.
Yeah, really good.
And the cast is fucking great.
The cast is like, fantastic. Kate McKinnon.
Like, yeah, Kate McKinnon's Farrell. Fantastic. America Ferrara.
Yeah,
is there?
Yeah, yeah.
She's
Rhea
awesome.
Perlman's in it. Fucking Marla.
It's Rhea Perlman.
Oh, no, Carla. Carla, yeah, Rhea Perlman. Oh, Carla from Cheers.
I couldn't place
Mate,
who it was. It's
she's
Rhea
got a
Perlman.
Renaissance.
Yeah,
Danny
yeah,
DeVito
yeah.
had his Renaissance, and she's got hers. It's great.
Yeah.
But they're not together anymore.
Or are they? They sort of break up and get back together.
Yeah,
all the
I thought that they still separated. I need to go to the
who
bathroom so bad. I'm going to wet myself.
Who else are they going to find? Just from a hype perspective, they need to go out with each other. All right, you're going to piss your pants? I'm going to piss my pants. I'm so pretty. All right, let's leave it there.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, no, well, thank you for listening, everyone. We love you so much.
Yes.
Let us know if you want us to watch something, a TV show, something that we wouldn't normally watch, something that's new that's just come out. Let us know. We've got all the streaming stuff.
For the next episode, I think we're going to do the after party, which Dan Hall got in contact with us
we're
and
watch that.
Suggested.
Yeah. So and then something else.
Yeah. So, and we'll do something else. Yeah. Something maybe a bit newer than that.
Yeah. But check us out on Instagrams and
we're
stuff
on the
like
Instagrams.
That.
We're on Threads. Kelly Festuca, Damien Gibson. Yeah. We should probably start making our own.
I don't know. I can't think about that right now. I'm going to wet myself.
Yeah.
But cool. I got to go. But thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for your nice words and share. Tell people, you know, download. Do
tell
all
people, share. All that stuff.
All right. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.